stretch out, but your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin,
welcome to episode number 193 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week, giving us your ears, giving us a bit of your attention. Looking forward to talking about a big week that's just gone in the world of distance running. Welcome to my co-host. Been sick again. Feel like I'm saying that a lot recently. Bradley Croker, the 217 man from the Lake Biwa Marathon back in the day. How you going?
Yeah, good, Brady. On the mend. Just been, just recycling this two-week sort of cold, I suppose. Doesn't knock me around too much. It doesn't stop me from running. Like, I don't feel terrible with it, but I just get this like tight chest for a couple of days with like a tickle in my throat. And then once the chest then breaks up and I start coughing stuff up, then I feel much better and feel pretty normal other than just coughing stuff up. So yeah, had it for about 2 weeks, was good for about 2 days, and then came back again.
How's the taste? Can you taste stuff?
Yeah, taste is fine, especially once my nose is, like, clear.
Had a COVID test?
No, I didn't, but Lily did because, Lily had one last Monday, actually. So, because that's who, obviously caught it off, and so she came back negative.
That's good.
It doesn't work like that, mate. Just because your kid had one fucking 8 days ago doesn't mean...
Mate, we've had zero cases in the ACT.
Yeah.
It's getting close to you, though.
The only places I go are from my house to Mulligan's flat. I don't go anywhere else.
Mate, you're a super spreader, I can tell.
Yeah, spread it to the kangaroos.
Super spreader in the making.
Welcome to my other co-host, the 214 man from the Lake Biwa Marathon as well, Julian Spence. Welcome to this week's show.
Thanks, mate. Disappointing they've cancelled the Biwa Marathon, isn't it?
Yeah, it won't happen again. And Fukuoka.
Do you know what I was thinking? They'll probably take their website down and we'll never get our results back and no one will ever believe us that we ran 2:40.
didn't they send you paper results?
Oh, probably, but I don't think I kept it.
I got mine.
I need some website telling me that it's all good.
It's on your IAAF profile. You'll be fine.
Oh, but that links across. You know how you enter a race and they ask for evidence and you have to look at the website?
Oh, yeah.
We're in stripes then.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It could be in trouble there. Or what about when they ask for evidence, but it's like, yeah, but what's your fastest since 2019? And you're just like,
No races then, mate. Come on. What do you expect?
Yeah, I know. I filled out the Melbourne Marathon one today, actually, and they were asking from, I think it was October or November 2019, like what it was, some of your significant performances since then. And I was like, Moama half marathon time trial. There wasn't much to put down there when you're trying to get a bit of assistance.
Still there at the moment, Moose.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. The website.
You had a look for yours on the bookmarks?
No, it's just got history. No, I just Googled it.
the most visited sites link.
Just take a screenshot of it.
Anytime I'm feeling a bit down, I just go to my favourites. Oh, there it is.
It's actually your screensaver on your computer.
COVID cases getting close to you, Croaks. And Moose, where are you in the world? You're not up at Cairns yet.
Anglesey. Tonight.
Back at home. Yep. Was this home or is Ballarat home?
They're both home.
When you got so many homes, I get confused.
Grew up in Anglesey, but Ballarat's been the home of sort of the last 5 years or whatever. But ran a trail today called the Currawong Falls Trail, which I remember hiking with my family as like, I reckon I would have been 5 or 6 or something. And then I was like, oh, isn't this cool that now I'm out running this like 30 years later, same track. It's still as untouched as it was. Like There's no signage. There's no, it's just the exact same trail. And I was like, this is actually really cool.
That is pretty cool. How's the injury progressing?
Pretty good, actually. The Achilles is very good. So I haven't really felt it this week. My knee is still playing up. You know, I had that cartilage thing going on. That's still happening. But I can run through that. This week was much better.
That was the knee stuff that came on during the Hobart race week, wasn't it? Is that the stuff you're talking about?
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Okay.
So yeah, it came on, but it's been a long-standing issue underlying without a problem. So this sort of stuff doesn't come on like immediately. It's been a long a long period of degradation, and now I'm only just starting to feel it. And I have good days with it, and I have bad days with it.
Okay, tell us about your week then.
Yeah, my week was 87K, so up on 69 from the previous week. So I actually ran every day this week, which was good as well. So that's progress. The first day was the last run in Noosa, so I ran with Ali for 15K. We got moving a little bit towards the end, and this was the first day that I ran where I didn't, like, my, I just felt great. Felt like not fit or anything, but my Achilles felt great, and I thought, that's a real tease right there, because I'm starting to get my hopes up after that run. I took it easy the next day, back in before work, down in Anglesey, just jogged. And then got used to the weather. Bit of a change from Noosa, where you wear shorts, maybe a singlet if it's a bit chilly. And down here, it's like full rugged up. And everything's a bit colder. The old body actually does not like the cold. I'm feeling it in my joints and everything. I feel like an old man at the moment in the winter. Next day, I ran with Simone, who I coach in Ballarat, and her partner Ned Verway. You would maybe know Dane, because we may have talked about Dane on the podcast, but he's got a brother called Ned. They're from Ballarat, and he's got a partner called Simone. So I ran with those guys in Ballarat, ran over some hills. It was dark, it was freezing cold. It was a little grim, the weather, but it felt great to be out running. So did an hour. Next day, I didn't run that afternoon. Gee, did I run that afternoon? No, that's the week before, sorry. Next day, great weather. So down on the coast, there was a long run. So I did a bit of workout admin for Ali. She had a long run, and she did 25K and then a workout, so she had others to run with for the 25, so I decided to go off and check the surf and maybe go for a surf, but it wasn't that good, so I came back and went for my own little run, and then jumped on the bike after that, and she did her workout. So that was just 10K. Next day, ran with Maddie Gunther and Sugar, a footy mate of mine. We ran around Anglesey, 13K, another good run. And then Saturday morning, I went up to Ballarat Friday night, so ran with Matty Freeman. He had a threshold 3:30s around the lake. He was going to do 30 minutes. It was my first workout back, basically, or second workout, really, so I was just going to do 20 minutes. I ended up just doing a lap of the lake, and I just ran to Matty's pace, so he decided how fast we would go, and I just ran to him. So he got a little ahead of himself midway through, and then had to back it off for the last 2K of that lap. So I think all up it was 14.5K for the run, and then I did a lap of the lake, basically. I think it was probably average around 3:30. Didn't really hit my threshold heart rate, which was good, so still not, like, reckon I've crept back a bit, which is good. And then on Sunday, I just did 13K down in Aries Inlet around some really nice tracks and dirt roads and stuff. Half of that with Ali, and then half solo. So 87K.
100 this week?
Yeah, be close. It's a first, look, this is, I literally half an hour ago thought, yeah, I better write some stuff down for this week, which is the first time I've done that in a very long time. So that's exciting that I can actually have the confidence to plan ahead now.
You going to do it for yourself now, Ron, or get Ali to do it again?
I don't want to get a program yet because I don't want to commit to it. I just want to keep building slowly, and I might talk to Ali later on. But
she might have other stuff to focus on for the next couple of weeks.
Correct.
That's good. Sound like you're going all right. And like, was it intentional not to do that far on Sunday because of the stress of the first workout on the Saturday, like the first bit of meaty stuff in a while?
Sunday morning, I helped on the workout. I was on the bike on the track, so it wasn't like a
the long run
left from the track in Deakin, and Ali had 400s. I was on the bike with her, and the rest of the guys ran long. So it was more just like a solo run later in the day. Yeah. I probably could have gone, but you know, Sunday afternoon, late evening, long runs, just not. especially when you're coming back, it's like at the end of a couple of weeks where you've run a bit more. I was just a bit tired, and I just didn't think I needed a long run.
That's good. Any races pegged out?
No races.
Might chuck the Ballarat singlet on this week, eh? Go around the cross-country league, 10K.
Is it Bundoora?
Bundoora this Saturday, yep.
Oh, mate, I would have towed you up, but I'm in Cairns.
There's 5 races in 6 weeks.
I would have slapped you up this week.
You been checking my results?
It's been a weak AV lately.
Oh, I don't know about that. It's the strongest it's ever been.
Oh, no, I reckon I've got a quote from Andy Buchanan saying top 20 in other years is like top 10 now.
You reckon?
No, that's what he reckons.
So what's he saying? If you come 20th, it's the same as coming 10th.
It would have been like coming...
Oh, 30th, you mean?
If you come in 10th now, it'd be like coming 20th a while ago.
What happens if you come in 8th now?
16th.
I reckon the quality's still in the top, like, 12. Not much has changed in the top 12.
Quality's in the top 7, I reckon.
Not much has changed with the top 12.
I did notice that you actually made the list of the on the AV video this week.
When they put top 8 in, when I watched that last night, I was like, what's the bet that these pricks are only putting top 6 in this week?
He was full gas for 8. He knew exactly where he was, Croaks, and that was the only thing on his mind.
I actually weighed my teammate through when I knew we had 8th covered. I'm like, you can get 6th, mate, 7th. I just care about top 8 to get on the video. Go through. I'll talk about that in my week, but Croaks, tell us about yours.
So I had a pretty ordinary week in the end. So it turned into sort of a bit of a down week. So Monday I just did my 10.7K loop, 4:17s, and then went out to the track on Tuesday night, and it was freezing. It was probably like 3 degrees with like apparent temperature of 0. Just one of those nights where even towards the end of the session, you're like, I'm still not bloody warm, and you know, your legs are sort of numb, your hands are numb. Anyway, so the session, most people were racing on the Saturday, so they were just doing some 800s followed by some 200s. So I did, and they were doing the 800s off 90 seconds recovery. So I decided to do sort of Ks at their pace off a bit shorter recovery. So I did 5 by a K between 302 and 305 for those. Pace felt okay. I felt a bit sort of like locked through my left hip again. So the week before, I'd had a couple of runs where it just felt like it was starting to come back a little bit. So pace was good, but it didn't feel that smooth. And then after my last K rep, I took 90 seconds recovery before we did 5 200s off a minute. And I wasn't sure how these were going to go, but I felt way better in the 200s than I did in the Ks. And they were all between like 29 high and 30.5, but felt really probably the smoothest I've felt running that fast for a long time. So I was pretty happy with how the session ended up going. So that was Tuesday, and then Wednesday my hip was pretty ordinary. So I did 90 minutes 4:14s, but for the first probably like 30 or 40 minutes, I just didn't feel like I had a lot of control over that left hip, almost just sort of dragging it along. And then also started to feel like I was coming down with this head cold again. Thursday, got out in the afternoon for 46 minutes, 4:21s. And then Friday, All the guys that I do my Friday morning session with, they were all racing on the Saturday, and because I didn't feel like I wasn't sick enough that I couldn't do a session, but the fact that my body had been just playing up a little bit, wasn't feeling 100%, I thought there's not much point in going out and doing a solo session, which it's probably one thing that's changed. Like since not having any races to target, I reckon I'm probably I make smarter decisions than when I was actually like targeting like regular races, because if something was on the program, you'd often just go and do it regardless of how you feel. Whereas now it's like, nah, it doesn't really matter. I'll just jog today. So I feel like I've definitely been a little bit smarter by not being as serious, I suppose. So Friday I just did an hour at 4:12s. And then we had Collis's birthday party on the Saturday morning. So I went out then in the afternoon and just did another hour at 4:25s. That was probably the worst day. I felt pretty rubbish on Saturday. And then Sunday, I decided that I wouldn't do 2 hours. I'd basically do anywhere between sort of 90 minutes and an hour 45, depending on how I felt. Hip was okay. I stopped after maybe 13, 14K for a couple of minutes just to try and like stretch it out. And I definitely felt better once I stopped and did that. So, did 25.3K at 4:09s and 113K for the week. So a bit of a down week, but I think it's probably good. Like I've strung together pretty much 10 solid weeks in a row. So I think now's, and if we'd done Gold Coast, then I would have probably had an easy week this week anyway. So, so I'm feeling a bit better now, like just coughing stuff up, but I don't feel sick. So I'll hopefully get back into it this week with another solid week of training.
I liked how you said, even though you didn't do Gold Coast, it's still good to have a down week anyway. Like I think that's a real good thing to still respect the train, and even though the race didn't happen.
Yeah.
Just dial things back for a week before you reload again.
It wasn't much of a down week. It was still 100. Looking at your bars there.
Not much quality, though. He'll smash a good session tomorrow night. Yeah, he'll be fresh as a daisy.
It's 113, whereas I'd been rolling 130. And I didn't do, I only did the one session this week. But, like, I haven't had a week. That's been my lowest week since when I had that gastro in, when was it, like, May or April, May, where I only did 50K. So, I've been so consistent since like mid December last year. I've had, I think, 3 days off in that time.
How many K's have you done this year? I'm just looking that up.
What was like 3,394. So I'm pretty much on track. So I'm averaging about 125 for the whole year.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. You've only done like 300 less than me.
But it's I just find this structure that I've got, like, it's that range between 120 and 135 is really manageable, like week in, week out, and it also gives me some flexibility. So often if I don't do a double, like some weeks I don't do a double and it's 120, other weeks I feel okay and I do a double and it's, you know, high 120s. And it seems to be working. Like I feel like my fitness is pretty good. I just need to keep on top of this back and hip stuff, because I don't want that coming back. It's certainly not as bad as it was, but once it sort of takes hold, it's hard to sort of get rid of.
Get on top of that. The only difference between 130 or 125 and 160 is just the doubles, though. You're still hitting the two sweat sessions in the quality long run, and usually you do a medium long run as well.
Like, I don't think I've done more than two doubles. Like, I generally only do one double, and that gets me to 130.
You chuck in the 6-7 Ks.
Yeah, but I've decided now, because I haven't been doing gym for the last, probably 3 or 4 weeks. I haven't really done it at all. So I thought maybe that was contributing to getting some of this back and hip stuff. So I went again today. So I'm definitely going to start going, probably if I train Friday mornings, I'll probably go Friday afternoons rather than do a double on the Friday. So at least that way I lock in one gym session every week. It's one of those ones where it's like, it's always hard to know whether it helps me, but then the fact I haven't been for a month and then this hip stuff starts again, it's like, all right, well, I'll sacrifice a double run and go to the gym instead.
Yeah. Good thinking. That's funny, isn't it? Like, yeah, that gym kind of fixed you, and then when you're fixed, you just stop going.
Yeah.
So many runners will do exactly the same thing, me included. When you get a little niggle, go to the physio, gives you exercises to do, do them until you feel good, and then stop doing them.
Yeah.
Yeah, real running trap. Go through my week. This will be pretty quick because I had a planned down week as well. I did 7K up on the Gold Coast on Monday morning, 4:24s. Tuesday, this was when I was waiting for my COVID test to come back, so I just went up and down the driveway. I was telling Croaks about this. It took me a minute to get up. Well, not the driveway, the laneway where our property light turns onto. So went up a minute, done a Yui, back a minute, stayed on the property. That was a bit of a mind kind of game, but it was okay in the end, better than I thought it was going to be. Then the COVID test come back and I was all good. Pretty quick, aren't they, getting them back, Moose?
It's pretty, yeah, yeah. Pretty I got impressed. 14 hours. What was you?
12
what
hours.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah, 12 hours. A bit more efficient up here in Echuca, I reckon. I don't know. Do they send them to Melbourne or how do they process them?
Yeah, they'll go send them to the lab. There wouldn't be a lab up there, would there?
Doubt it. Not sure. So that was good to get that back. And then I did an easy jog and strides on the grass. I just put my Dragonfly spikes on. Hadn't been in those for a few weeks. I put those on to do some strides because I was thinking I'd be racing in them on Saturday. And then so that was really easy 3 days there off the back of my Sunday, which was a 30-minute day as well. So 4 days at pretty much 8K, 9K. I was feeling great by the time Thursday rolled around. We just did a little workout. The guy I coach was in town, Fabian. He was set to do Gold Coast and obviously got cancelled, so he couldn't do that. But we dialed him back to a bit of a half marathon session, and he's going to try to hold on until Sunshine Coast. It's been a hard one to try and plan out, but hopefully we get it right. He was doing 4x3K off 500 meters jog, and then Archie Glenn and I jumped in for the first two. He was kind of going like 3:30 pace, so we just kind of kept him company doing that, and then we just ticked off 4x1 minutes at the end just to tick the legs over. I just like coming off a bit of a break, doing something before you jump straight into a race, just so it's not a massive shock to the system. So that was all right doing that on the Thursday. Friday was just a super easy 12K and a few more grassy laps in the spikes again before going to Cruden Farm. This was round three of the cross-country season, individual race, 12K cross-country. Never raced this one before, but it was a beautiful course. I quite enjoyed this course. 3-4K laps. Really challenging surface, but not too challenging on the hills. But one of those ones that you just couldn't take your eyes off where you're putting your foot each step because, running through paddocks and, like, just cow poo in the paddocks and stuff like that. Hit a couple of, what do they call those, like, cow poos? Like, are they called cow something?
Pat.
Is that what's called? Pat? Yeah, that's right, yeah. How they're all, like, caked. So, yeah, they were there. And then there was probably, with the 4K loop, there was probably 600, 800 metres, which wasn't too bad, where you get a bit of footing. But after, like, everyone had gone through there a couple of laps, by the time we got to the last lap, it was pretty muddy through there. I came eighth, which was, upper position than what I came last time at Leidener Park. So the extra 4K probably helped me. Myself, Archie and Nathan, we kind of got into a pack. There were a few Glenn Huntley boys there, actually. There was some good little team racing going on. A few, we never get to run with Andy because he's always at the front winning it. So it was good to kind of have two or three of us bats flying together, sitting around 10th. And then just the longer we went, the more that pack kind of like dwindled down. And we just, felt pretty good. Rolled through the finish. Nath come 7th, I come 8th, and Archie come in 11th. So that was good and big results for the Bats. We won overall, Moose, you'd be happy to know. So we took down all the Premier Division teams, all 10 of them.
Had One Division 2
and Division 1 this time. So
we're in Division 1 if you're not in it.
Yeah, Tim Crosby's even saying it on the mic as we're coming across the line, saying these boys are going to win overall today. This is good.
There is. No, there's good. No overall. Division 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Croaks.
And you're in your own competition.
Croaks, 5 guys in the top 19. How good's that? Jamie,
pretty good.
Jamie the Beast Cook returned, the lost son. He come back to the Bendigo Bats.
Glenn Huntley,
yeah. He signed a long-term 5-year contract with them. So it's finally out of contract and we got him back. So
you have to pay to get him back.
Yeah, I had to pay big transfer fees to get him back. So he was a great addition to come into our squad. And then, Archie and Nathan, much improved from Leidener Park. And then, Nige come in as well. So we were up and about the Bats. That's a big result for the Bendigo Bats. So we're looking good there.
Pretty bad. What'd you win?
We just won pride and bragging rights. and Instagram posts, you name
get
it.
A we've trophy got them. Or something.
I don't know. Do you get a trophy at the end of the year for Divi 2?
No, no one cares about Divi 2.
You have to get a little flag or something, wouldn't you?
No. Divi 2 just gets an email saying, perhaps you'll be in Division 1 next year.
Really? Yeah. Should
imagine if, like this, the fact that Vic's closed the borders to New South Wales puts an end to the bat season. No Archie, no Brady.
You know what, Brad? This would bring it back to old school Victorian cross country where you don't get ring-ins from New South Wales coming down.
It'd be pretty funny.
This is where Bendigo runners have to run for Bendigo that live in Bendigo. You should be running for Echuca. I'll run for Ballarat. That's how it should be.
We don't have a team in Echuca. We're too small of a town.
Yeah.
So we're just Echuca and we're Bendigo and surrounding districts. That's why we've got Nath Stoke from Cobram, me and Archie from Echuca and Malama, and then all the Bendigo boys. Just good. Otherwise, these kids wouldn't get a run coming from these small towns. And the Bendigo bats just embrace them. So it was good. Then we sat in the cab. Long day getting down there and back. Got home at about 7:30 p.m. I think it was. Pitch dark. A lot of hours sitting in the car, which I reckon that cooks me as much as running 12k in spikes around a muddy paddock. But yeah, that was good. Then we just did same with you, Croaks. I kind of said we'll do 90 to 2 hours, depending on how we feel, and we just stopped it at an hour 50. Did 25k at 4:24s. Which was all right. So that was, our down week, 104K. Back into things this week. A bit of confusion. There's meant to be another cross-country race this week coming, but with the border shut now, I'm in this border bubble, but it's really confusing how far into the border bubble I'm allowed to go. So I might not be starting this week for the Bendigo Bats down in Bundoora, which we'll see. And it's hurting us too, because we're obviously going to, you and Guy Walters were meant to be flying down for some races later in the season. You guys are both in red zones as well. So, yeah, Vic government, if you're listening, just loosen up the rules around the border a bit to get the bats down there.
So who's in second in Div 2?
The Mentone Mavericks. The Frankston.
And have they been second each time?
No, I don't think so. The Frankston Pigs got them on the weekend because it was like their home race. And they had, they had a pretty strong team, the Frankston Pigs. So, yeah, which is a bit, because what's happening is you've got all these dominant, like, Divi 2 teams, and then you've got teams in Div 1. Like, what about Geelong? They had two people rock up. They couldn't even field a team of six. And, like, all these Divi 2 teams are like, come on. Like, it's good enough to, like, be not led up to Division 1 if that's a strong competition. But if teams aren't putting a team on the park, I reckon boot them out of there and let a couple of Divi 2 teams up this year.
It's not a good look.
It's a terrible look. Ballarat didn't have six either. Like these are the two biggest towns outside of Melbourne, and they can't find six runners.
Like I've always looked at the Victorian setup and been quite envious because it's like there's so much depth there, and it means a lot to represent your club and finish high up.
Culture and you run for the singlet.
But if you're in Div 1 and you're not even fielding a team, like it sort of makes the comp a bit of a joke.
A few years ago, Geelong was winning the flag. A few years before that, Ballarat winning the flag. You have up times and you have down times.
Yeah, but you're always fielding a team. I don't know if you've had times when you don't even get six
I reckon even when we were winning a premiership, there was a time that we were struggling to get a team on the field.
Getting six people.
In some of the races. Sometimes it just doesn't work out.
I reckon five.
Yeah, or maybe look at changing it like after a few rounds, like if, for example, like say Geelong and Ballarat, like aren't fielding teams 3 weeks, like three races in a row, then they get relegated.
Mid-season.
Like because, whereas you guys then, because you've been like winning the comp, get actually moved up and potentially some of your points
I'm
can count.
You, we're actually winning overall. If we were in Premier Division, we're on the top of the ladder. We've come second, first.
They don't have to beat you. The Division 1 team coming into the line sees Bendigo runners ahead and goes, don't need to beat them.
Yes, they do, because it counts for
my points.
It does count their points.
Yeah, it still counts for their points.
It counts against their points.
Because I'm pretty sure every athlete out there moves is trying to finish as high as they can.
But there's no one.
I'll give you a hot. I was chasing down Jordan.
He's going to score points that compete against me. Don't stress it.
No, but it does because, like, let's say we were trying to chase down Jordan Williams in the last couple of Ks on Saturday, and he was looking around, you know, like when you get a deer in the headlights kind of thing and they're just cacking themselves. That's what Jordan Williams was looking like every time he turned around, seeing us Bendigo bats coming at him.
He didn't give a fuck because he's in Div 1. Yeah. And he doesn't fuck with Div 2 athletes.
But if he finishes fifth, he gets 5 points for his Div 1 team. But if he gets passed by four people, he gets 9 points. You know what I mean? So it does affect his team score against his other Div 1 teams.
Yeah, so but there's no one finishing ahead that's taking points off him for Div 1 teams.
Well, Andy did. He finished like a half and 2 minutes ahead and something.
Oh, anyway.
We'll talk about that news later on. The rivalry is good. I've been talking heaps of trash. Bendigo Bats were talking trash at round one. Everyone said it wouldn't last. Here we are, round three, Croaks. Get around us. People begging for merch.
COVID could bring it all undone.
We got a bit of depth. We appreciate
As
it.
As I said to you yesterday, Bray, it'd be quite ironic. The bat disease ends the bat season. Oh,
but it's already ended our opportunity to get there in 2020. I think we had enough rounds in now that the bats can go all right. Anyway, that was my week. I am missing this week won't worry me too much because I actually want to get... It's hard to write a plan if you're racing every Saturday because I don't like doing like long runs after hard races on Saturdays anymore. I just can't back up from them. So it kind of affects marathon training dramatically if you're racing four Saturdays in a row. So, yeah, missing a couple here might be all right. Anyway, let's thank some Patreon supporters. Oh, what about the backlash last week, Croaks? Tell you what.
You stitched me up.
I didn't stitch you up. I put you in charge for 1 week to thank the patrons, and you stuffed like most of them up. People writing in, fuming, you get their names wrong.
I asked you, send me the names of the three that you want shout-outs to.
And I sent you a screenshot. Didn't even do anything. You sent me a screenshot,
and it was Claire Eatwell Red. That was the name, and it was actually just Claire Eatwell. So sorry about that, Claire, and thanks for your support.
Won't happen again, Claire.
Don't have Croaks doing the notes again.
Well, thank you, Croaks.
I'm going to give a shout out to Mick Wallbank. Mick lives in Winter Valley, Victoria. Has run 32:22 for 5K, 70:09 for 10K at the Flying Brick Bellarine Sunset Run. Bit of a regular at the Wallaby Track Park Run. Is a public servant at the Australian Government. Fanciful runner, aspiring writer of magnificent fiction, and general know-it-all about dinosaurs. He's also a Carlton supporter. So he's had a few tough years. Thanks for your support, Mick.
Thanks, Mick.
Mick, he's big Ballarat fella. Berkey's wife's sister's. You know Berkey?
Chris Burke.
Yeah.
Chris Burke had a stint over in Bendigo, actually, training with the Bendigo Bats back in the day. That's when I was still living there, I reckon. He's a legend, that bloke. Isn't he, like, really high up in the bank, NAB or something?
Yeah, I think he pulls a few strings down in there. Doesn't work very much.
Yeah.
Just, like, work from home life, runs at lunchtime. But yeah. his wife is Mick Wallbank's sister.
Ah, small world. This is Mick, like, big Mick runs? Is that, like...
That's him.
Yeah. I reckon I've met Mick at... Run Ballarat. Remember when I went over and smoked everyone up that day?
Oh, don't remember.
Yeah. Anyway, who are you thanking, Moose?
So I am thanking Kristen. So we don't have a surname there, but she's a 37-year-old mum of four, passionate recreational runner with one marathon under her belt. Best half marathon, 1:39:53. Full marathon 3:39:39. Trains with Raf as her coach from Front Runner Performance, and that structure keeps her motivated and loving the sport of running. Cheers for the awesome podcast. That's her saying that, not me. To you guys.
You're welcome, Moose. We do carry you every week.
Why do you put it like that, Brady? You made that really difficult.
Kristen had this in her bio on Patreon, and I've copied and pasted it because I wanted to get it right. And this is where maybe getting onto this thing before we start actually recording and proofreading it might actually work in your favour from
here. You just need to write the notes better, Brady.
Kristen, get your notes better next time.
Well done. Thanks for that. And good job being a runner. 37, 4 years old. Damn. I'm going to be 35, one. Father of one.
At 37?
Yeah, 30. Yeah, but
how old are you?
35.
Oh, you could be a father of two by the time you're 37.
Yeah.
What happens if you have twins?
I think they can tell that stuff early these days.
Yeah. I think they're called ultrasounds, those things they use to check.
That thing that I see Bree show me on her phone.
Weren't you there when you got it done?
They all look the same. Yeah. Everyone's ultrasound looks the same. Like, it's not like looking at a photo.
It is kind of like looking at a photo.
Well,
it is a photo, sort of, isn't it?
But it's like identical. Everyone's babies look the same inside a stomach.
Yeah. I'm going to thank Mark Wilson from Northcote in Melbourne, real hipster suburb of Northcote. Mark, I remember this now when I wrote this the other day. He punched a 2:53 time trial around Albert Park last week instead of going to the Gold Coast. Pretty impressive to be able to do that. Not in race conditions. 1:23 is ran for the half marathon, 36:52 for the 10K, and 17:54 for the 5K. Has two kids, both of them are girls. Mark wrote us in a really nice email as well, fellas. Did you see that in our inbox?
Yeah, I did, actually.
No, I didn't. Yeah.
Good on you, Mark, for writing those kind words in there. And thanks for your support on Patreon and all the other legends over there on Patreon. Road to Nowhere Weekly and all the bonus stuff we put up there. Running news, fellas. This one come out after we recorded last week because we said he didn't make the team, and then lucky Matt Whitbread was on the interview of Ed Trippis. That news had broken then. They referred to it. And this was the news that Matthew Clark was added to the Olympic team. So steeplechaser Matthew Clark has been added to the Australian Olympic team, bringing the total size of the team to 64. His Olympic dreams had been rekindled following a withdrawal from a foreign athlete. So they took 45. He was in 46th, but obviously someone above him, not sure who it was or what country they were from, was not selected or pulled out or whatever. So that pulled Clarkey up to 45th, and now he's going to be an Olympian. And I think he had the second fastest time, didn't he, behind Ed. This was good to see because he just kept trying and never gave up, and then he was rewarded for it.
What about his last month? What a roller coaster ride.
Oh
yeah. Isn't it so epic, though, to see this?
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing. Like, this guy has just run the... I mean, the best thing about this is he's our fastest... Oh, sorry, now he's our second fastest steepler, and he deserved the spot. This is all sort of working out for Matt.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a guy who would just be so grateful for the opportunity. Represent us well over there. Peter Boll, some news overseas. Moose, what do you got? Kick us off with Pete Boll.
Yep. So the 800 runner ran 1:44.89. To win France. So he's got over there, first international race of the season. He picked up a W, third consecutive time under 1:45. So showing form, and not just to run fast, but also to get wins, which is important when you're going to go through heats and semis.
Yeah, because he's been winning everything here, hasn't he? So it would have been good for him just to practice some race tactics and things like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and obviously, like, there's only so much racing you can get here when you're the best in the country or when you're close to the best in the country. So it's good for it. Hopefully he has a few more races before he hits the Olympics.
Well, that's kind of similar in Monaco to Katrina Bissett. Like, we've seen her absolutely dominate all our domestic season. Now she's over there actually coming not first for once. So that'd be good for her to kind of practice race tactics, things like that as well. And she was in action at the 800 over there where she ran 1:58.42. It's her second fastest time, and she's obviously the Australian record holder. I wonder, was that under the old Australian record, boys? Do you know?
Oh, don't know.
I think it would have been. Yeah.
Because her national record is 1:58.09. So she was eighth in the race, though. So it talks, you know, someone talked about dominating so much to finish eighth in a world-class kind of field like that.
Be interesting. It was crazy race, though.
It was, wasn't it?
Did you watch that? Pacemaker's gone out, went through in 54 seconds.
But it didn't, like, Muir and Ricky and Kate, what's her last
Grace.
Name?
In there?
Yeah, Grace. Like, they responded pretty good to it, didn't they? Like, it was pretty cool to see them run super fast, and hopefully Kat Bissett can get to that kind of level of what those girls are running.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're sort of experienced campaigners at that in those sort of races, and you're looking at, like, was it Kate Grace and Laura Muir? Who was the other one, did you say?
Gemma Reiki, is it?
Yeah.
Her training partner, Muir's training partner.
Ran 1:56 in that race.
Yeah. Did you see the way Muir kind of, like, just popped out with, like, 30 to go?
Yeah, I know. That's the type of shit that, you want to see in championship racing. someone who can change gears like that.
Yeah.
So she's gone down a gear and then she's gone up two, all within 50 metres.
And she's only going to do the 15 too, I think. I don't think she's running the 8 at the Olympics. So that that women's 1500. I said a couple of weeks ago when it was the listener question, you know, you got Safwan Hassan, Muir, and even that 1500 that was over at Monaco as well, Kipyegon, she absolutely smashed Hassan in that last 150 metres. Like,
you got it. Chuck
Hull and Hall in there. Like, it's a very competitive event, isn't it?
But if you see someone go sideways like that and then accelerate, like, you have to back that sort of kick in for the final if it's a slow race.
Mm.
To be like that, I thought the same thing as you when I watched it. I was like, how did she do that?
It almost looks like a superpower or something, isn't it? You're like, you're not meant to be able to move like that. Like, it's,
Yeah.
Yeah, one step, you're next to him, and another step, you're in front of him. Like, it was pretty cool to see. Tell us about Genevieve Lacaz over there, Moose. Gregson, sorry, I always get that wrong.
Well, yeah, she was Lacaz.
Yeah, I think I'm so used to seeing it as Lacaz for so long, and you're just ingrained in your brain. But sorry, Genevieve, if you're listening.
So she had her best race for ages. She ran 9:17.81. She came sixth in the steeple. That's pretty huge run considering some of the names in that field. That was a big steeplechase field. So huge progress ahead of Tokyo. Her second fastest time, actually, behind the Olympic record of 9:14. So the race was won in 9:03 by Kiang Hewin, I think that says. So there's some fast girls in the steeple right now. But great to see Gregson hitting those times. Again, getting it right for the event.
Mm. Did you watch this as well? Did you see Coburn go down?
I didn't watch this one. I had two races to watch before I left for my run, and I put on the 1500 men's and the women's 800 with Kat Bissett. That's all I watched.
Yeah, good races across the board. Yeah, you watch it, Croaks? Yeah. Pretty dramatic on steeples, aren't they?
Yeah, because she was a good chance of going like close, because she was battling for the win and outside chance of breaking 9 minutes at that point. But she's in good form. Coburn.
She certainly is. And in the steeple, I was thinking about it, because sometimes I find it hard to remember like what good times are in the steeple, because it's an event I don't know. But you think about 8 minutes flat for boys, 9 minutes flat for girls. That's a good rule of thumb.
Pretty much, yeah.
So our guy's running like 8:19, 8:20s. That's whereabouts are. Jen's, you know, obviously under. She's run that 9:14 Australian record and 9:17 on the weekend.
Yeah.
Thereabouts. Men's 15, Croaks.
Yeah, so super exciting news. Stewie does it again. Breaks his own Australian record. But what's super impressive about this one is he's the first Australian to ever break 3 minutes 30 for the 1500 metres. He ran 3:29.51. Which is basically exactly a second off his previous Australian record. He finished fourth in the race behind Chariot, Katir and Ingebrigtsen. So good to see. And in the same race, Jai Edwards ran a new personal best of 3:33.23. So he hasn't had a bad race for this whole season. So it's going to be exciting in a few weeks' time. And I messaged you boys after the race, going like, I really hope Chariot like gets to race at the Olympics. Like, I just feel like the Olympics is about the best of the best, and there's no doubt that Chariot deserves to be there, should be there. From what I've been reading, like, you know, he's pretty much a certainty given the guy that finished second hasn't done enough drug testing. But I think all the athletes there would be, I don't know, like, would be disappointed if he wasn't there, because there's always going to be that doubt of like, oh, well, would have Chariot beat us? So I hope he gets to run.
Can only beat who's there though, Croaks.
Well, that's true, but I still think he deserves to be at the Olympics.
Yeah, so do I. And I think the Australian guys would say the same, like, let us at him kind of thing. We want to crack at him.
Yeah.
Moose, any thoughts on that?
Mate, I'm just reading this breaking news coming in.
Is that the one on the messenger?
Yeah, I'm like, I haven't read it yet.
I saw the name and then sent it through to you.
If you feel like
you're good enough, do you want to break it on air? I haven't read it all yet, though.
I'm not sure how breaking it is, but I'm reading a pretty official statement.
The person that sent it to me said, I guess this would already be over your desk, but here it is.
Yeah, so let me read it, okay.
But yeah.
Let me read it. So on the 17th of June, right, and this has come out under the, like, this has come out under the table, really. It's sort of an, it's like a statement. AA haven't made any statement on this, but this is the opening line. Sports Integrity Australia acknowledges the decision of Athletics Australia to sanction athlete Melanie Paniutu for the presence and use of prohibited substances. Ms. Paniutu returned an adverse analytical finding from an out-of-competition doping control test on 3rd of September 2019. It goes on to say it was determined that the athlete used norethandrolone and or ethyl estradiol on and or before the 3rd of September. Those two drugs a class S1.1.A, exogenous anabolic androgenic steroids. And her ban was for 3 years, basically. So she's eligible to compete on the 3rd of September 2022. Now the last little section, anabolic agents pose many threats to an athlete's health, and some side effects may include an increase in blood pressure and cholesterol levels, which can lead to heart disease, rah, rah, rah. It's like this deserves an announcement, not
from,
being
from Athletics Australia, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not sure whether it's their job to announce that, but like, it to me, like, I'm like, how can we not know about this? This is an athlete. Let's read a little bit about Melanie.
Represent Australia at the World Champs. Remember that
Com Games too, 2014 Com Games.
Yeah, I'll get
in Glasgow.
Yeah.
What surprised me, Moose, was like, because we only received this actually while we're on air, and I've just put it into like a Google search, and like nothing comes up. Not even
I spelled her name wrong.
Not even the article that you've sent through here, Brady. So it's bizarre that I can't, you know, you can't even find it on the web. Like, you know, you put her name in, positive drug test, runner. Nothing.
So where's that website that it's come from? Mirage News.
It's on the Sports Integrity Australia website, and it's a news release or a press release. So it's a statement, basically.
Okay, so it's legit.
It's absolutely legit. Okay,
I was just making sure we weren't just reading someone stitched it up here.
So yeah, like obviously we've seen her a fair bit on the fun run scene as well. So I've seen her name around, and I'm looking at a photo now of the Glasgow, I think it's the Glasgow Com Games with Jess Trengove, Sarah Klein, and Melanie Paniutu.
Oh no, it is on. Athletes Australia did a statement on it.
Did they?
Yeah, I've googled it. Statement on anti-doping published 17th of June 2021.
Yeah, well, I didn't see it, and I follow the sport pretty closely. Isn't it fun? It's interesting that two out of the three marathoners that we sent to Glasgow have served doping or served like
suspensions
for anti-doping breaches.
2014 Com Games representative. Yep.
Not a good look.
Yeah, not a good look at all. Some breaking news there. That's what happens on the Inside Run podcast. Stuff comes across our desk as we're recording.
You don't often see Australian athletes get serve doping bans, do you?
Who missed a spot at those Com Games? That's what I think of straight away. I'm like, who was fourth? Like, who was the person we possibly didn't take?
Yeah, 2014.
Who would have had the fourth spot? Because we would have had people hitting the times.
This doping offence occurred in 2019.
Oh yeah.
Not to say that it, like, obviously, like, if you test positive for an anabolic steroid, your whole career gets thrown into question. What you did before and what you do after is always going to be questioned. And it's very hard to trust you ever again. Well, the trust is gone, really, from the athletics community. Because that's not like, oh, shit, I wonder if she ate a burrito or not. That's like, that's an anabolic steroid. Like, you, yeah.
Is this a thing where it can get confused with, like, something you get from Chemist Warehouse?
It doesn't go into that.
Okay. This is, yeah, she knows what she's doing kind of stuff.
It doesn't go into.
It doesn't say.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Sorry. I thought you meant this wouldn't go into. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, it doesn't say. So, like, there's no. I haven't read a defense on this.
Yeah. She won Melbourne Half Marathon in 2018. Ran 2:36 at Hamburg in 2019. I was trying to think if I've seen any results from her since then. So it could have been tested then after Hamburg.
2019?
Yeah.
This was out of competition.
Oh, okay. Yep. I only got those two results from 2019.
Oh, yeah, I've just found it on the sportsintegrity.gov.au website.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking. That's the legit one.
Yeah, that's better than the, was it Mirage, MirageNews.com?
Copy and paste, basically.
Yeah.
It was just them picking a media release and just publishing it.
Yeah.
We'll put those links in the show notes if you want to do your own reading. Do we talk about Jai Edwards at that race?
Yeah, we did.
We said his result. Good. So Monaco's done. I've kind of done the AV stuff. I'll just go through the women's results. Karina Fife won that. Her second cross-country win again. The women also ran over 12K, same course. 42:51. Rebecca Green was second, 43:10 from Melbourne Uni. Amy Robertson from Collingwood, she was third, 44:32. Check out this for Glenn Huntley. They scored their six runners a total combined point score of 30. They had five of them in the top 11. Absolutely dominating the Glenn Huntley girls. Melbourne Uni second, South Melbourne third. Andy Buchanan got the win in the men's, 36:08. Tom Thorpe, 36:28. And the Liam Cashin, 36:53 for the men. Listener question, Crokes.
Yep. This week's listener question comes in from Andrea Castelnova. It says, ask this to Road to Nowhere as well, but with the Olympics upcoming, you might share as well what's been your favourite / most iconic memory of the Olympic Games. Good question. I had fun thinking about this today, and actually I looked up some old some stuff on YouTube, and it brought goosebumps. Yeah, all the hairs on my neck stood
up. Well, go on then.
Well, now I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say first.
Oh, well, I got three. So three pretty simple ones. Well, two simple ones, one with a good story. So first one, Kieran Perkins winning 1500 in Atlanta from lane 8, was it?
Yep.
That was amazing. Like probably the first time that I ever really, I would have been 10 years old. So watched it, cheered for someone, probably the first time I've ever done that, and just remember thinking, oh, this is amazing. Second, Kathy Freeman, 400. Sydney Olympics. I remember exactly where I was. Cafe Le Monde, watched it on the big screen. That was pretty exciting too. Remember watching the whole restaurant stopped, turned, watched the race, and just like exploded when she won. And yeah, love that. If you ever read her book too, it's a good read. Like, it explains a lot about it.
Did you watch that doco that ABC, I think they made it last year or the year before?
Yeah, I watched it.
SBS?
Yeah, I did watch it. Look, I didn't love the arty stuff in it, I'm going to be honest. I was watching for the sport, and then all the art stuff come through and I was like, oh, I wish they would skip this shit. And then the third one, right, was this was in 2008, Beijing, and it was a Sunday morning, and I remember I was super hungover. I was feeling like a real dead shit, and I remember sitting in my room, bedroom. I was 22. I felt like my life was going nowhere at this point. Like, I just sort of dropped out of the Navy. I was working just as a laborer on a building site. I watched the Beijing Olympic Marathon with Sammy Wanjiru, and I was just enthralled by it. It's the first running race I've ever watched before, and I was like, what is happening? Like, this guy is just sprinting the whole way. And occasionally I saw some snippets of the Aussies, and I watched and I was like, why are they so slow? And I'm thinking, run faster, what the fuck are you doing? It's the Olympics. And I remember thinking, this is how obnoxious I was back then. Towards the end of the race, I'm like, I could fucking do better than these guys. I could do better than them. I could finish, I can run faster than that. And I went for a run that day, and that's literally after that, that was the day that I stopped, decided I wasn't going to play footy again and decided to start doing endurance sport.
Mm. That's a good one, Moose, because I actually looked up that video today as well. So I remember watching it thinking to myself, because it's like Beijing, so it's hot, and it's like, how is this going to end? Like, surely he's going to blow up and runs 2:06, which was an Olympic record at the time. Like, you know, 2:06 in hot weather.
And
yeah,
pollution.
Good one. What about you, Brady?
It had never been done before. The marathon had never been run like that until he did it, basically. Never been done using fartlek early. And the commentators are dismissive. They're like, this is going to come back to bite him. And I remember thinking, this guy's going to show these commentators up. He's going to do it. And, it was a good one. I mean, I can't find the video of it. Like, there might be snippets of it, but there's not a full... I would love to watch the full video of it.
Isn't it a joke that the Olympics don't, like, give permission for their stuff to go on YouTube?
Some of the stuff does. I watched Rio the other day.
Not much is on there, though. Like, there's not... it's all kind of, like, bootleg stuff. Like, that's where people watch videos. Just allow it to go on their place. It's good for our sport, people seeing it.
Because you know how every time you watch the Olympics, at the end of the day or whatever it says, you know, these... It basically says, it's copyright, you can't share this, blah, blah. Blah, blah, but yeah, there's definitely clips. There's definitely races of the Olympics on YouTube that you can find.
Yeah. I was Cathy Freeman as well, Moose. Remember watching that I would have been, when was it, 2000? I would have been, 12. And it just was everywhere. Like, you cannot imagine the kind of pressure she was under and to just have it all. And I love Bruce McAvaney's call of it, like, watched it a million times and you still would, like, if it plays now, you see it, you know, when you're scrolling through Twitter, it'll pop up or whatever, like, you still take the time to watch it again, even though you've seen it so many times. Yeah. And I still get goosebumps and, like, smile and, when I see it. So that's kind of good for me.
She was unbeaten for, like, 3 years or something, right?
Mm. Yeah, and finished second. Kind of Atlanta, so it's often the backstories to these moments as well that make the so much more special than just them winning the gold. Plus, then obviously for Cathy, it was like the pressure of the home Olympics and and then there's that Mary Jo Perec,
who was meant to
race her, but then ended up leaving.
And she lit the flame at the opening ceremony, stuff like that.
And the suit, there's a whole story behind her suit. And her was it her husband at the time? No, the Sandy Bodecker from Nike. That it was just, I don't know, I like the book and I like the story. And
I haven't read the book. I must do that.
So clutch. Probably one of the most clutch moments ever because it was hers to lose.
Yeah.
And every one of those other girls in the race had nothing to lose and they're the ones you've got to be afraid of.
And I reckon like McAvaney's call... like made it as well, like it just because he kind of mentions it like she's got work to do kind of thing, and then she almost lifts as he says it. Like, yeah, anyway, that was mine.
Sammy Wanjiru is like the postscript as well, isn't it? So like alcoholic, real erratic character, ended up having a lot of trouble and coming back, winning Chicago Marathon like he did, and then dying tragically, dying young.
Yeah. My other one was Hisham El Garouj. I think, Croaks, you might know more about this than me.
That's mine. Can I?
You'll explain it better. But I just remember because I actually didn't know a lot about him at the time. But I think Channel 7 did a really good montage.
I'll send it to you now, and we'll put it in the show notes because it's so good.
Is that the one of the music though?
Yeah, it's got the gladiator soundtrack.
They actually did a really good montage in the days leading up to it because what happened? He got tripped at one and then he came second at the other.
So the background is, and this is why I think the story behind it
made it amazing
because he finished second at the World Championships in 95. And was going into the 96 Olympics as one of the favourites. It was him and Morsley. And so they get to the bell, and it's Morsley first, him second, and he trips and falls over. So that's 96. He then wins every single World Championship. So he wins 97 World Championships, 99 World Championships, 2001 and 2003. Breaks the world record in 1998. So goes into Sydney as the world champion, world record holder, finishes second to Noah Yang, and then it comes to Athens, and it's basically his last chance. And even down the home straight, Legat actually gets in front of him, and it was almost like a replica of Sydney, and he finds something in that last 20 metres to then come over the top of Legat and win. And he then a few days later backs up and wins the 5K as well, which was the first time in like 80 years that somebody had won both the 15 and the 5. And just, yeah, that montage that was put together on Channel 7 and Bruce's commentary.
Yeah, because he winds it up too, doesn't he? He just winds it and winds it and winds it, yeah.
Well, and there's just some quotes, it's like, look, people just watch it. It's amazing. So that was,
when you're watching it, I'm not sure if you you would have noticed it, but Silver comes third?
Yeah, Rui Silva.
Yeah, he came home like a storm frame. I reckon he actually ran the last lap quicker than everyone in that race.
Yeah.
Watch him that his last lap. Ignore what happens out the front. It's amazing.
Well, they went through 800 in about 201, and they ran their last 800 in 146. So they ran from 800 to 1200 in 53, and it was like the last 400 was like low, like 50 point or 51 or something. So so that was mine. A couple of others I had on the list were, it was probably like the men's 10K at Sydney. Turgat versus Gebrselassie.
Yeah.
And like the fact that Turgat had come so close so many times to beating Geb, and you know, they finished within point two. It was like the winning margin, I think, was closer in the 10K than it was in the 100. Like it was just that. And from a swimming point of view, I reckon like the stuff that Thorpe did as well at the Sydney Olympics, like probably not so much the 400, but like the 4x100 relay, the way that he storms home over the last 50 to claim gold was pretty cool as well. The El Guru story and the montage just makes it even better. So do yourself a favor and go and watch it. It's good.
Some good videos there to watch.
I know what I'm doing later.
I'm just looking up some of these old guys. Estevez, remember him in that final as well, Crokes? The guy from Spain, the real tall and bald.
Speaking of clutch though, Moose, like imagine that. The guys finished second at the World Championships in 95 and won every single one through to 2004. So pretty much like 10 years, he's been the best. And he's got one last opportunity. And 30 metres to go, he's in second. And it's so cool.
Yeah, that is cool, isn't it? Because I mean, who knows what was happening?
Well, that's on Estevez's profile here. It's like on 9th of December 2010, he was arrested and questioned in relation to his involvement in a Spanish sports doping ring as part of the Guardia Civil's Operations Galgo. And like, Estevez, I was cheering for you in that race, mate. Wouldn't it kill you now, though, if it just like everyone just come out and like owned up?
Yeah.
But anyway, we watched it with naive eyes back then, Crokes, and we're still talking about it now.
Yeah, but it also just goes to show like how good, Bruce, when he comes to commentating athletics, because he's so passionate, so knowledgeable, that just adds so much to the drama of it.
You know, when I was talking to about Tom Middleton last week, who I was running with a bit up the Gold Coast, he said he was doing a workout in Centennial Park the other week, and Bruce was walking through the grounds. And Bruce come up to him and just like, well, what kind of split you hit and what are you training for? Like, just kind of like scoping him out. And then Tom said he started giving him some of his splits. And like, the longer he talked about his splits, the less interested Bruce was, because he's like, I probably don't need to know who you are. But that's it. He loves the sport, Bruce.
He does. So, he does.
He was up and about in Sydney there. Good question. I enjoyed talking about that. Bit of reminiscing. Yep. Moose on the loose, purchase of the week.
I don't really have anything.
Yeah, unpack those boxes from last week.
Yeah, one of them was a pram, actually.
It was a pram.
Bree put it together. It's sitting next to me now.
What brand is it?
Bugaboo.
Yeah, they're the real expensive ones. Yeah. Bugaboos.
I don't know. Yeah. Oh, shit. I wonder how much it costs. That makes me worried. Oh, fuck.
Nah, pram's a good investment, though. You're going to use it a lot. You got a Bugaboo, Crokes?
No, I don't have a bugaboo.
I reckon we actually do have a bugaboo, but I'm not 100% sure. I know Carly says we've got a good pram, and if anyone ever asks, tell them it's this brand. But I don't know. Yeah.
I think it's pretty smooth. I took it for a lap around the house. Very smooth. Mm. Doesn't look like you can run with it, though.
Oh, yeah, we've got a bugaboo. Yeah, same one. Just all the pictures. No, you can't. Oh, you could, but not real fast with a bugaboo. I've got that. Remember when we did that sponsorship for the run and pram?
Oh, that's right. What was that?
We'll just roll one of those ones around again.
You did the sponsorship. Oh.
I remember you saying to me, like, mate, I don't give a shit if you get a run and pram. Like, why the hell would I be interested in this stuff?
I don't think Moose would want to run with a pram anyway.
Nah, fuck that. Running's for running time. It's like, it's not dog walking time. It's not walking the kid time.
I'd get injured if I ran with a pram.
Yeah, these prams are pretty good. The only time you run with it is when you're not going to run unless you take the pram. That's the only time I use it.
Yeah. You got a treadmill though?
No, I don't have a treadmill. Because you could.
Maybe a treadmill's better for that.
You could put the kid in the pram. Yeah, you could do that. And then just... Oh, wait. Put the kid in any pram, park him, give him an iPad. No, they don't like the iPads at that age.
Pretty young for an iPad.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe just sleep.
How are they going to work the iPad? I can't even work it.
Yeah, Carly got one of those newer iPads, and I couldn't work that the other day. I was trying to get it open on the plane, but couldn't figure it out. You know how they changed all the formatting and stuff?
Nah.
Didn't even know how to unlock it and stuff. Looked like a real boomer trying to use it.
You are a boomer.
Oh, no, you're getting old. Anyway, what else have you been purchasing?
Oh, how much more stuff do I have to buy? I bought batteries for my heart rate monitor.
Didn't you do that 3 weeks ago? Remember in the car park?
I had to buy them again for another one. So my heart rate monitor straps stink so bad that I have to wash them every time I run, and they're always wet in winter. So now I have to, and you don't want to put a wet heart rate monitor on when it's like 0 degrees outside. So I got two. I got the Wahoo and the Garmin, but the Garmin ran out of batteries. So I had to get more batteries for that one. And you know, the thing about the Garmin heart rate chest straps is they have screws in them. So you got to find like this miniature, minute screwdriver to try to open them and change the battery. It's a pain in the ass. But got it done, so that was a good man job that I did.
Good work. No moose on the looses.
What
about the guy at Monaco who rang the bell lap early? The steeplechase, you got one job.
That is ridiculous.
Count down from seven. It's not rocket science. He just cooked a few people's races.
Yeah, there were a couple on the long run trying to say it was the athlete. Oh, you're a professional athlete. You got to know. I was like, fuck that. This guy's a professional bell ringer, and he didn't even do it at the right time.
Yeah. And he's got no lactic running through his body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these guys are English, different language. There's so much going on. You're about to jump over a hurdle, so you're not looking at the lap counter and stuff anyway. Like, yeah.
No one's getting laps.
Give him a
it's
break.
It's fucking Diamond League.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you're confused if this guy is, like, on his – like, it's just a string of people. It's like – he's just broken away from the pack. Come on.
Yeah.
That was garbage. Agreed.
Yeah. Anything coming up, fellas? We've got Gateshead Diamond League tomorrow night. I think Stewie and tomorrow night UK time. Is it Tuesday night over there?
It's going to be Wednesday morning our time.
What time in the morning?
Well, the races are between on their time, like 5 in the afternoon and 9 o'clock at night. So
Australian record going to go?
Yeah, you'd assume so, wouldn't you? He's racing a lot, isn't he, Stewie?
He is.
Talk about him every week on here, breaking something.
Mile 15.3 in, how long is that? Like a week?
Yeah, is there no fields out?
No, the field's up. So this one's got, who's in it? Katir. Katir's in it, the guy that beat him in the 1500.
Just changed his diet, I heard.
Yeah. Well, his PB on his 744. I'm guessing he'll run a bit quicker. Who else have we got? Andy Bouchard.
Yeah, UK guy.
Cripper.
Is that the bloke who
faked
lied
COVID
about
test,
the COVID
yeah.
test? Oh, fucking
hell. I only saw the headline of that. What did he actually do?
Oh, so he went on a podcast and he was told him that he was trying to get back. It was like, okay, I might be a little off here, but he was trying to get back in the UK and he needed a negative test, and so I think he fudged the date or something on an old test that he had, so he could get back in or something like that. And he mentioned it on a podcast. A bunch of people heard it, and then they deleted the podcast. But still, I know at British Athletics were looking into it, investigating it. I'm not sure the outcome yet. Mm-hmm. Not the smartest thing you want to do.
Dave and Ramsden are both running the 3K as well.
Oh, wow. Do you reckon Ramsden be pacing?
Don't know. Maybe. It's not the strongest Diamond League field. So like out of Stewie's main competition for the 1500 at the Olympics, like, you know, I guess Katir, based on what he ran the other day, is probably the only one of those that's racing here.
Stewie's the only one broken 7:30 in the field. It's a couple of guys around 8:09, 8:12.
He's got 7:39 for Matt Rams. He's run pretty fast over five.
Yeah, Dave McNeil, 7:39.
Yeah, so Stewie's the class, along with Katir. They're probably your top two in this. Yep. And also, I know Rory Hunter's running in the, is it like the Elmsley Car Mile, I think they call it?
Yeah, remember Stewie won that one year.
Yeah, Elmsley Car Mile. Yeah, so that's not a Diamond League event, so it probably won't be televised. But, yeah, Rory's in that one with Jake Whiteman's running as well.
Could be some good races there. We'll talk about the results next week. I think we're done, fellas. We'll give them 20 minutes of Road to Nowhere. Anything's happening in your lives coming up between now and next week?
No, pretty boring for me. Just a bit of training and, yeah, nothing on the horizon.
School back this week for you?
So it was a pupil free day today, so I might get the call on Wednesday, or I might have the week off, who knows.
Geez, that's a bad look when schools do that, have a pupil free day after 2 weeks holidays. Come on, parents have had their kids at home for 2 weeks. Could have done this differently.
Also, Diamond League, so Risley and Peter Bowl are both running the 800.
Okay.
Which is a Diamond League event, so that should be pretty good. There's some quick guys in that one.
I didn't know that they had races that weren't Diamond League events at Diamond Leagues.
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah.
Get to be confusing. Moose, what are you doing?
I'm going to Cairns. So.
Oh yeah. When are you going there?
I go tomorrow. Pre-camp for the athletic team are there. I think some swimmers or some shit are there too. But I don't know. Who else is there?
When are you back, Moose? How long are you up there for?
I'm back Sunday night. So two workouts Ali has. One of them's Wednesday. It's a big one.
You're back Sunday. This Sunday night?
Yeah, so I'm there like five days. Yeah.
Are you did you end up getting like officially like staying in there, or are you like at the hotel around the corner?
I got my own hotel exactly around the corner.
Nah, you should be in there. Put the big coach in there.
No, you don't want to be in there, mate.
Yeah, what an experience.
Why?
Just to see what it's like as a coach.
See, well, what's
are like? There any coaches in there, or just all athletes?
There's heaps of coaches and none allowed out.
High performance.
They're in like a fucking lockdown. So they're allowed out to train and they're allowed out to get takeaway food.
That's
not
it.
So it's not a very pleasant experience. For instance, marathoners have 3 weeks of this in Cairns, 1 week in Sapporo where they have to stay in their hotel room the whole time, except for meals inside the hotel and training for a certain amount of time, and then back to quarantine, 2 weeks hotel. So they've got 6 weeks basically in hotel rooms, and these are not big hotel rooms. They're tiny, and you're with another person. This is not the most pleasant experience, I tell you so much.
Where are they putting them when they bring them back to Australia?
They'll be in hotels still. Yeah, there's no facility or anything. It's hotel quarantine.
Can't they just put them back because they've had their vaccinations? I'm not a doctor, obviously, but like, can't they just come straight back into the community?
Well, that's what's going to get rolled out later on. So that's part of this phase plan from the federal government, is vaccinated people can isolate or quarantine in their own house. Rather than hotels or quarantine facilities, but they're not up to that yet. They haven't, we're not at a point where our vaccination rates are too low for that.
If you're vaccinated, can you still carry it, pass it on?
Yeah, you still can. Okay. So yeah. The community is still sort of, the rate of vulnerable. Vaccinations is way too low for anything like that. So, but that in the future, that's something that can happen.
Yeah.
Still, that's a lot of inside time for these athletes. They will be going crazy.
At an already stressful time as well. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not. Look, there's no cases in Cairns. They're just being extra cautious. Very, very cautious, really. Considering back here, they can do whatever they want, train, go to cough, like, do everything as normal. But they go to the camp, and all of a sudden, it's like lockdown.
There's got to be some concern, though, that this is going to get out of Sydney. Are these, what, it was 115 or something today, wasn't there?
Well, I'm not sure how they've managed the Sydney athletes into the camp.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that's happened, which is probably what they're most concerned with.
Yeah. Good intel then from the big fellow, though, Croaks, wasn't it?
Yep. That's what you get when you're a big dog coach.
Yeah. No, so I'm going to go up there. It's pretty good weather, I tell you. It's a little better than the old Ballarat frosty mornings. It's like 28 degrees or something. So I'm going to redo the tan, so apply another layer, come back. I might have to pick a race out just to show that tan off that one time before it goes away again.
Yeah, pick it out, see if you can get in some shape. What about that Ballarat 15K?
Oh, yeah, like last time.
Yeah, I reckon we'll turn the tables this time around, though.
I don't think I want to go. I've got good memories of that. I don't think I want to go back there.
Yeah, I reckon you'd struggle to go top 30, the depth in AV at the moment.
Top 30. There's
good guys coming in 30th. Who come in 30th on the weekend? I'm going to look at the results now. I'm pretty big chance that you wouldn't beat whoever that name is. just give me 2 seconds here. Croaks, you'll know some of these names as well. I would.
All I need to do is beat you.
Yeah, well, that's top 10 kind of stuff, that one.
He can't go to any races coming up, so he'll talk a bit of shit now.
Eric Ueda, 30th. Pete Dutton, 31st. Mate. Dame Verway, 32nd. There you go.
Are you kidding?
I stand by my statement, Croaks.
Those
back
blokes
me
haven't
that.
Beaten me in fucking 12 years.
John
I don't think
Dutton, 28th. Yeah, there's a lot of names similar to your ability right here. I'm reading that.
Not a single win over me, any of them.
All those four blokes would have listened to the podcast the last 6 weeks thinking they'd have you.
All those four blokes know the back of my legs and the back of my singlet very well. For the first 10K.
Yeah. Until you get too far in the distance. Anyway, yeah, when is that race in Ballarat? A few weeks, I reckon. Hopefully I can get there for that one. That's the one I want to do.
Yeah, that's always fun, isn't it? It's always shit weather.
Is that the border bubble? That'd have to be in the border bubble, wouldn't it?
Oh, Ballarat, are you kidding?
You should say how big the border bubble is. It's huge.
Nah, it wouldn't be. Yeah. It's closer to like Geelong than it is to Chuka.
Yeah, anyway, we'll do it all again next week, fellas. See you later.
See ya.
See ya, boys.
Hey, guys. Welcome to episode 22 of The Road to Nowhere, season 2. I'm Nick Earle. I was once described as the world's fastest climate scientist, but now I'm a climate scientist. Welcome to my co-host. Apparently he's not cursed, but I think he might be. Joel, tell us some good news.
I moved into an amazing house in Richmond over the weekend, and I'm still moving into it. So that's my single piece of good news.
That is good news. All right, welcome to my other co-host. Star of the show with the very broad shoulders. Ellie Pashley.
Why are you laughing? That is actually what I look like.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, if you want some entertainment, look at the Oz Olympic team on Instagram and try and find all of the athletes on there. We're just laughing at Ben Buckingham's.
Broad shoulders. I just thought you had a really small head.
It's a bit of both.
I actually do have quite a small head. That's what I used to look like when I did swimming lessons.
But yeah, this Oz Olympic team, they have all the people who have made it, and some of them are so blatantly photoshopped, it's hilarious. Like Jeff Risley's one. The light is coming from a different place from his body to his head. Oh my god, it's so
stupid. Me and Nick just spent 15 minutes on it laughing at them all, waiting for Joel. So the funny thing is, though, I was just telling Nick, I thought that mine was photoshopped, and then I heard Jack Rayner saying to the boys the other day on the live stream that they did that he got his taken in Townsville at Oceania Champs. So his wasn't photoshopped. It was actually him. And I thought that mine had been photoshopped onto a boy's body. And then when I heard him say that, I was like, oh, I actually got a photo taken there too. So it might actually be me.
That is definitely you then.
I love it. Everyone's like, oh, they photoshopped Ellie onto a boy's body. It's like, no, that's Ellie.
Nope.
Oh, God. All right, Joel, let's go with you first, and you tell us what the hell's been going on.
That was like that fake laugh just before you start bawling your eyes out. So Monday I drove, I don't know where we left off, but certainly wasn't good news. Monday last week I left Coffs Harbour early in the morning and went to up to Brisbane. I was staying in Gold Coast Monday night, from Monday night onwards, at my friend's place. But then, am I getting these? Yeah, this is right. I don't have my laptop in front of me, so I'm moving house, so I'm all over the shop. But
because we recorded on Wednesday last week.
Yeah, that's why I was a little bit confused. So yeah, went up and got an osteo appointment. I don't know if I talked about that last week. I don't think it was just more than the physio. But yeah, got an osteo appointment and got treated, smashed everything. Everything was, sort of feeling pretty good. And then the plan was to run Tuesday morning. So I met up with the group Tuesday morning. They had a session at Pizzy Park in the Gold Coast. And I thought, yeah, I'll do all my sort of activation and do everything right to make sure I'll be able to run sort of pain-free, thinking it was just, you know, an SRJ problem. And I got 17 minutes into the jog and I was like, this is really messed up. I'm in so much pain. I should not be running. So, yeah, it was pretty heartbreaking. At that point, this is Tuesday morning, and I thought, I've got to pull out of the race. Pulled out then and arranged a scan, and the scan results came back Thursday with a sacrum stress fracture.
Ooh. Oh. Shit.
So where were you when you got that news?
So I talked last week. Yeah, we recorded Wednesday, so I told you exactly what I'd done, like getting caught in the car park and all that. So
yeah,
we recorded from I recorded from Armadale at my uncle and auntie's place last week. So the next morning, I think I found out after I recorded. The next morning, I found out I had a stressy. It was just a massive shock because
you didn't think it was a stressy last week.
No, and anyone who's like the physio, the osteo who I'd seen, they all were sure it wasn't a stressy, because for me a stressy is something, you know. You have to introduce something new for a bone to fracture. That's always what I've known. Or take something away, like if, you know, there's a calorie deficit or something like that. You're not getting enough calcium, but, you know, I haven't changed anything in, you know, 18 months. But then I've sort of realized, well, actually the introducing the new thing was probably driving. I've never, you know, my body's not used to driving all that way. And while driving doesn't directly cause a stress fracture, I think those like the 5 days where I've driven 30 something hours all up over 5 days, it was just obviously causing like serious tightness in my hips, glutes, and all those sort of attachments on the sacrum. And I think that must have sort of been a contributing factor. But
do you think was it like a session? Do you think you did after that drive that actually was the kind of point where it kind of fractured, or was it just general kind of?
Well, yeah, there's always, you know.
There's always a point.
The exact point would have been the long run after the second drive. But, you know, the 30-minute threshold at 3-minute pace after the first drive is obviously going to contribute to that.
Yeah.
So it was
all. Were you sore after that?
No.
The 30-minute threshold? No.
No soreness at all. Didn't feel anything then, and then, you know, ran again, and then it was like the 35k long run off the second long drive.
Yeah.
So yeah, but
You also could have had a stress reaction there already, like, because you've done quite a few good weeks, big weeks in a row, and sometimes you don't, like, you can have completely asymptomatic stress reactions, and then it could have just been, like you said, that muscle tightness and then load that just tipped it over.
Yeah, exactly.
Where normally it might have been a stress response that then sort of just healed itself and you never knew about it.
Exactly.
Because if you scanned all of our bodies, we'd have them all the time.
100%. Yeah, that's why it's sometimes scary getting a scan, you know, on like a larger area. Like if you've got something in the foot that hurts and you get a scan and then they find all this stuff around it and you're like, well, no, that's just asymptomatic. but yeah, with this, like I was just totally in shock. Like I've always expected, I have sort of learned to expect the worst with injuries, but I just did not expect this because it was so similar to the SRJ problem last year. And then it was like, yeah, you know, you've got a full-blown stress fracture. So I was like,
so did you get a scan last year? Did you get a scan last year for the SIJ thing?
Yep.
And it just was, there was no stress.
It was a stress. Yeah, I was sure. And they said your bones are like 100% fine. There's just no stress response in the bone. The joint is super inflamed. And then this time it's a fracture. And I guess now I think about it, yeah, maybe it is a different pain. I haven't even seen, this is funny. This is like where, it shows how you try and be positive to work everything, make sure everything, you're not getting too down. But I went and saw my sports doc today and I still haven't seen the images. And I'm thinking like in my mind, like speaking to my physio last night, he's like, can you see the photos? Because, it just doesn't sound like, even like where the pain is that I'm getting and the kind of pain, it just doesn't seem, my physio is just like, it doesn't seem like a stress fracture.
Oh, but really? No,
he says, so like when you get
you should just
even sorry
logging
say it again
oh you should call the MRI place and get the or get your physio to call them and get a login
or
the sports
doc
so they can look at them.
I do need to do that. My sports doc Peter Fuller, he's an eccentric dude and he's sort of just like, in the moment we're just talking to him and he's like, oh, can't log in, I'll do it later. But I like sort of wanted him to run me through the images. So I'm just going off the report at the moment, but he said, he goes like, you've got a stress fracture. A radiographer doesn't get that wrong. There's a pretty clear description of a fracture there.
I love the optimism though, because I'm maybe it is wrong.
Joel Tobin Might from who lives up in Gold Coast and he's got
Joel Tobin Might.
That was not funny. Don't laugh at that.
That was
don't give me a sympathy laugh for a broken bone.
Joel.
It was a 4 out of 10, but we double that because you're miserable.
I suppose it was really shit just because I thought, I'd already accepted that I wasn't doing Gold Coast, and that was hard enough after obviously putting everything on the line to do it. But then I was like, at least I'll get my body right for Sydney. I'd say a couple of weeks. Thanks, Ellie. Thank you very much.
Sorry, I know this is like stating the obvious, but I just kept thinking about all the series of events of your
series
week.
Of unfortunate
and I was like, that
events.
Is.
I had a podcast listener send me a message going, this is after last week's recording, saying you have to buy a lottery ticket tomorrow. And it was like, my lottery ticket was the MRI report.
I guess if you look at your group, people like Jack, and it wasn't even that long ago that Dave McNeil had a sacral stressor, was it?
Yeah.
Like, look how people bounce back well from them, and they usually
heal
well.
They seem like something that heals well. I'm actually, I've sort of got to look into it and talk more with my sports doctor, but have you heard about the bone healing injection? It's like give for people with...
What they give, osteoporosis?
Osteoporosis, yeah. So it's cool. I've heard like apparently the footy players do it just to, can sometimes study sort of say it can turn like a 6 to 8 week stress fracture into 4 to 6 week.
Cool.
Just really assist in the healing.
Is it Prolia? Is it called Prolia?
It could be.
Is that what they give them?
I think it was called calcium. I think. I don't know.
Calcium.
Even I've heard of that one. Yeah.
That was not like a big long-winded joke. But I was actually serious about the injection. I don't know. I forget what. Imagine that was just a full lead-in, so I could say that joke.
Oh, cool. Well, that's good. Worth looking into.
Yeah. So hopefully, I will. Yeah. I'll get another scan in like five weeks probably, and how depending on how it's looking, I'll start running. You know, I'd say it'll be 6 weeks. I think so. Yeah. That's good. I thought it was like, you know, Jack said 3 months when he had the 12 weeks and then had another, he had 8 weeks and then like another 6 weeks, I think, from memory. So that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
So I think you just have to make sure that you're not on it. I'm not going out dancing and clubbing and stuff every weekend and stuff like that. So
is that a bit annoying? Because is that like what you would want to do because you can't run?
I don't know. I would just all that, like even moving house, I couldn't lift anything, you know? So I've got
that would have been good.
That would have been brilliant. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Carla.
Can you move that one?
You carry the bed.
Yeah. Carla, can I have another slice of lemon in this gin and tonic? My sacrum is starting to flare up. And that's what I read that sort of helped. Yeah, put an umbrella in the drink. Thanks.
Can you undo the bed frame? Come on.
Smack, I don't like these the variety of grapes you're feeding me.
They're going to be like, wish Joel's bloody stress fracture would hurry up and get better.
God, it'd be a bloody nightmare. So what cross training can you do?
So it was funny talking to my sports doc this morning. He forgot that I was a he sees so many people, but he forgot that I was a triathlete. And so he's talking to me. He's like, you know, swimming is probably worse than cycling, because unless you can swim with flippers, he's like, because all you runners, you're so skinny and you don't really know how to swim. And it can like put pressure the right way. And I'm like, yeah, I used to swim. Oh, thank you very much. and he's like, yeah, no, I know you're a triathlete, but you left because you were shit at swimming. So shut up and listen to my advice.
So what are you going to do?
So I'll do some, to be honest, I'm like, as a mental break, I'm just having like a week. I haven't done anything the past week because I was sort of cross training last week on the bike. And now I'm just like, you know what? I've been going for 18, 20 months, hardcore, with no, you know, no real break. Even on my like that down week, I still ran 75K, and I'm like, you know what? I do all that, and now I got a fracture. So it's like, stop this. I'm just going to chill out for a week or two. You know, I know I get fit anyway, and then I'll start some riding and swimming.
And you know too, like sometimes, especially with things like stress fractures, sometimes it is your body telling you it needs a bit of a break. And people can go crazy on cross training, and it can delay their healing time if they go like not that exactly. I would expect you to go too crazy on the cross training. There's definitely some people that do that.
Yeah, and I think this is a sign as well. Like I used to always be in the gym and doing lots of rehab, and then having, you know, getting injuries, I thought maybe I'm doing too much gym, and then so now, like I was going on. You know, if you asked me 3 weeks ago, I'd be going on, you know, 20 months injury without an injury. And I thought, you know what, like I don't really need to do this and need to do that. And it's like, ha
So but it was the drive that screwed you up, though, isn't it?
Wow.
Nick's just trying to like get out of strength. Like, I think no, Nick, you still have to go to the gym.
I disagree. Plus, I was going to say, Joel wasn't ever in the gym. He was prancing around in the showers. This is what Ryan Gregson told us. So.
have to change a few things. But yeah, I also think another thing, you know, for I was trying to work out what was different. You know, when you get injured, you have to sort of try and sit down and think. And obviously, other than the obvious driving, I thought everyone, you know how usually you train all year, and if you don't get injured, then you have an end of season break. But with COVID, I didn't have an end of season break. I just sort of trained the whole way through. So technically this could have, as you said, Ali, could have been something very minor, and just every month just got a little bit worse and a little bit worse and a little bit worse. Because the only time I had a break was lying in the hospital bed for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
4 weeks. Have a listen to me. I was in there for 5 days. I was sick for 4 weeks. Yeah. So who knows? But move on.
Yeah.
Anyone gets injured, I don't want this to be a big sooky, sulking podcast.
It already is. But anyway.
I was going to say, that was just a lie. That was my cop out. And then everyone goes, he really is a really good guy. And then I'm going to bring it up like at any opportunity.
Right, so what was your mileage?
That's just bullying, man.
You must have gone for a walk, though, or something. Come on, we can.
Oh, don't tell me you add walks into your mileage. Have you committed that? Thinking,
I reckon you did a few fast steps in there.
So what was it? Would have been it would have been let's say for a 17-minute run on Tuesday. And then the funniest was Thursday morning, spending a good 2 hours moving firewood in the wheelbarrow with my uncle. That should have been a sign that it was a stress fracture because it hurt so bad. If I didn't have a stress fracture then, I would have after that. But in my head, I'm like, well, the race isn't going ahead anyway. Like, I'm not going to not chop firewood.
Yeah, chopping firewood is like one of the most fun things you can do. So
exactly.
But it's pretty hard on the back.
Is it? Must be a boy thing to like chopping firewood.
I bloody love it. It's so satisfying when you just split it in half. It's just like,
Ali, yeah. I've seen your broad shoulders. Don't lie. You love it.
She just looks at some firewood and it just
breaks. Pass me the splitter.
If you saw my wood chopping technique, I think you would take that back.
You don't need a technique with those shoulders, though. Just like, just so powerful. All right, let's move on to something a bit more. Or a little bit less miserable, hopefully, anyway. Ellie, how was your training week?
My week was pretty good. I had a down week because I thought that we were racing Gold Coast, so my mileage... Oh, sorry.
It was during her week.
Joel's little sobfest. Yeah, so my mileage was going to drop right down anyway, and we ended up keeping it low. Just to try and, I guess, absorb a bit of the training that we'd been doing. So, I just did a light session on Tuesday. I'm on a fartlek. So
You still thought the race was happening, didn't you?
We still thought the race was happening Tuesday. I think it got cancelled Tuesday afternoon. Is that right?
Because we recorded on Wednesday.
Yeah, we knew it was
canceled Wednesday.
We recorded it as cancelled already. Yeah, it was on Wednesday then.
Oh, yeah. So Tuesday we still thought it was happening. Tuesday, stuff had started happening in Queensland.
Yes.
There were some cases and they'd brought in masks. We weren't in lockdown, but it was a little bit getting
Tuesday,
a bit iffy.
No, Tuesday the lockdown started.
Oh, did it?
Lockdown started at 6 p.m. on Tuesday.
Yeah, but they still
that
didn't
night, yeah.
cancel it. They didn't
so they must have announced the lockdown Tuesday arvo because we went out for brekkie Tuesday. We did a session, then went out for brekkie, and it was still normal. And then, it must have been Tuesday night.
When you finished the session, it was like, for anyone.
When we finished the session, I reckon the others were on their phones, like, because stuff was starting to come out
that
things might change.
It's
so we
so
had
funny
some
seeing
restrictions,
athletes
but...
grabbing at that sort of. I remember that when in Gold Coast, at least, it was like we're in lockdown. Well, after those guys finished the session, we went out for lunch and it was like we're going to be in lockdown at 6 p.m. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, race is done. That's it. Like, there's no way. But everyone's talking and they're like, yeah, but, you know, the lockdown finishes at Friday at 6 p.m. And the race is Saturday morning and all this stuff. It's like,
it was so obviously going to be cancelled. Like,
it was just like they just needed another week or so.